Hello and welcome to another Eurogamer newscast this week, talking about all of the big news coming out of Nintendo, Sony, Yakuza, and the Microsoft Tokyo Game Show press conferences this week. It's been a huge week for news, a packed announcement schedule, and we're here to talk about all of that. Joining me this week, it's, as ever, the trusty Eurogamer news reporting team. We've got Victoria Kennedy.
Hello.
Ishraq Sugan.
Hello.
And Liv Nunn.
Hello.
And I'm Tom Phillips. Let's start at the beginning, shall we? This, it already feels like a week, more than a week, since we met up just a few days ago to talk about everything to do with Assassin's Creed and Ubisoft from the Ubisoft Forward presentation last weekend. If you want to go watch that, I talk too much about Assassin's Creed for 40 minutes. We've done that. Next this week, then, was Nintendo Direct. And I would say expectations were very high. Expectations which some people say were not entirely met because they were expecting different things than what was actually there. But I had a good time. I think the biggest thing to come from it, we would all agree, was the name and a release date and a new trailer as well for Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears.
Victoria, here we go.
We've already started. Victoria, you wrote that. You and Ed wrote that great article on Eurogamer this week, analysing the trailer. What was the most exciting stuff you saw in there, and what's got you like pumped for this game? Even more pumped than you were already.
Even more pumped, as I say. I was pumped without trying. But I think for me, so Ed and I broke this down quite a lot yesterday in our article. But we discussed about how the sort of very beginning, the opening shots where you see all the sort of carvings and things on the wall. And that is obviously telling us a lot more backstory. So we've got like soldiers being attacked by bokoblins and moblins coming across what looks like a carving of malice. I have a theory that those soldiers are part of the Zonai tribe, which were kind of hinted about in Breath of the Wild. We also spoke about this sort of ethereal figure that reminded me of Lord of the Mountain. And I felt terrible that I couldn't remember Lord of the Mountain's name yesterday. But it reminded me of that sort of ethereal godlike creature, which I have a theory is the hand that's been keeping Ganon pinned underneath Hyrule Castle. So I could go on and on and on. So please, if I start talking, you know, if I start going like Tom on Assassin's Creed, please all cut me off. But
wow, burn.
we've also spoken about how dragons obviously have a big symbology in this upcoming game, which again is something that I feel is linked to that Zonai tribe. Dragons could be seen on the doors of the sort of shrine that Link first exits. You can just about make out a dragon flying across the sky in the background of one of the shots from yesterday's trailer. And from my little Googling research yesterday, it doesn't appear to be the same dragon that we see. Like, so it's not any of like Farosh and Co. from Breath of the Wild. It seems to be a new dragon, from what I can tell from its tail. This bit. So there was definitely a lot to unpack there, even though it was quite a brief clip.
Yeah, I don't feel we've got many concrete answers yet. I mean, that's fair enough. Maybe the game is still 6 months away, but it's lovely to have that May date now locked in. Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't slip anymore. But I like reading your article, Victoria, one of the things that I really enjoyed was sort of the speculation, which has been around for a while now, but I think the trailer only sort of built on that we are seeing different timelines at play. Mm-hmm. There was a suggestion from the description of the game that we'd be going to Hyrule, the Sky and Beyond. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts about what that might mean and sort of what time we're looking at different time scales, perhaps?
Well, I mean, I suppose this could lean into it being called Tears of the Kingdom because maybe there is some kind of time tear. I don't know. I mean, I need someone official to tell me the name to like hear them say it. The trailer definitely reinforced the time travel aspect because we saw Link. As we've kind of seen him in Breath of the Wild with the sort of blue tunic and the more modern looking hairstyle. But then we also saw a clip of a character from the back climbing up a tree on the side of one of these floating platforms. And again, they were dressed in this sort of more like primal garb that we've seen Link in previous trailers wearing. So there's definitely going to be something there.
Mm.
I'm so excited.
It is exciting. Where do we all stand on the tears thing? Because obviously it's spelt the same in English.
I do,
you know,
think tears. Yeah.
Why do you think tears, Victoria?
I'm basing Tears on the fact that the mysterious figure that I mentioned in the carving is surrounded by seven shapes which look like teardrops from previous Zelda games. And so I think they are the titular Tears of the Kingdom, which Ed believes will be linked to dungeons.
Seven things. See seven things in a Zelda game, it's usually referencing seven dungeons.
Yeah. I'm calling it Tears just based on my gut instinct. I don't care if it's actually Tears. I'm just going to call it Tears forever. I don't care if Nintendo gives an official pronunciation. I'm just going to call it a Tears. And that'll be that.
Liv, what do you think?
I'm kind of with Victoria, the teardrop shapes.
It's my girl.
So I'm kind of leaning towards Tear. Sorry, a Shrek.
Don't be sorry, you and I are right.
Yeah, sorry.
It was just, I'm saying sorry out of pity.
I'm going to go Tears as well. I think that we've got the Tear from the Sheikah Eye, which is on the Sheikah Slate and sort of various other things. In Skyward Sword, you were collecting Tears, weren't you? I believe.
In the Sacred Realm, you collected Sacred Tears.
That said, it's obviously done on purpose. These things, you know, I imagine
for
the
sure.
name of this game, they spent a very long time coming up with. They've said in the past that it's potentially a spoiler. So, I don't know. But the idea that the kingdom has been sort of torn apart by Ganon or bits are being pulled up into the sky, I think it's cool to have something that could mean something else. And
yeah, I mean, the trailer again yesterday showed us, you know, Hyrule Castle again being, I don't know, supported by a sort of geyser of malice again. So maybe like the malice is tearing the kingdom apart from beneath.
I just had this idea of like a London geyser guy. Like, all right, so why not malice?
Geyser? If I said it like an American geyser, is that more? A big upshoot of pressure.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
But I like the idea of, all right, mate, I've just got Hyrule Castle here.
Got your Hyrule Castle. Yeah, don't worry. Bit knocked up. Just throw it over the fence.
Nice one.
Here's a question for everyone. Okay. Now that we have the release date, do we think that we're going to see a new Switch or a new Nintendo console around the same time?
Yeah.
Great question.
Ooh. I'm still, because I remember whenever Nintendo did talk about like no new products this year or whatever, and I was like, so they haven't said like no to next year, as in fiscal year, I should say. So I think they must be working on something. And Digital Foundry did do that analysis of the previous trailer, saying they didn't think whatever Zelda was running on was a current generation Switch.
It was just really well optimized. It's hard to say. Nintendo, they're tricky.
I don't think that there's a better game to launch a new Switch hardware revision with than a new Zelda. It's a hardcore gaming market, big open world game, will push that hardware more than anything else, way more than a Mario game would. And when you're looking at the demographics, I think it's a Zelda game that you launch with, just as Zelda launched with the Switch, you know, back when it first came out. And we've seen time and again Nintendo hardware launching with a Zelda game. It's just something that will sell, will grow the market, and will appeal, especially if we're looking at next year. And, you know, if what they're doing is, you know, a 4K Switch or whatever they want to actually put in this new model after they did the OLED, that is only going to appeal to a smaller segment of people. Looking at like how much money people will have and everything else that's going on. So I think you sell it to the hardcore first and you get those people in, and those people are going to be buying Zelda on day one anyway. So it makes sense to me.
Yeah, definitely.
There was loads more in the Nintendo Direct. I want to take a moment just to note these guys, the Pikmin. This was incredible. This was an incredible announcement for me because
Liz got one too.
I've got one.
You got the purple
guy. I've
got
a rock one.
Oh, is the rock guy?
That's the rock one.
Oh,
we've got awesome. Like the complete set between us.
God, I really hope there's some new Pikmin varieties in this new one. That'd be cool. Yeah, like the
you went
there's
so
a weird
misty eyed there.
I love Pikmin, and I have for ages, and you know, Eurogamer has this kind of funny relationship with Pikmin 4, the project, because we did this video interview with Shigeru Miyamoto about 7 years ago now, where we were doing an interview. It was ostensibly about Mario. I can't remember exactly what game was out at the time, but that is what he was there to talk about. And I got some time at the end to ask him some questions. And I asked him about Pikmin because it was one of my favorite things that I was playing at the time. And he confirmed that Pikmin 4 was in development. At the time, he said it was actually quite close to being done. And the internet has never quite let me forget it ever since, because despite the fact that these words came out of Shigeru Miyamoto's mouth, and we followed up with him, I spoke to him at an E3 a couple of years later, the project never arrived. And I think it is very interesting to see this side. This, I think, like, candidly, Miyamoto wasn't supposed to confirm Pikmin 4 to Eurogamer on that day, and it was great that he did, and I love the fact that we've got this sort of insight into how Nintendo just has all of these projects and ideas incubating all the time. And, you know, if it was anyone but Shigeru Miyamoto, these things wouldn't get talked about. And it was just a brilliant moment when he did, and ever since then we've sort of known and hoped that this game, which was very much in development, was still in development and still being thought about, even if it wasn't front of mind because Nintendo was working out what to do with the Wii U, and then how to make Switch launch, and then, you know, Pikmin is not the biggest Nintendo franchise in the world. There are lots of other things that Nintendo needs to keep releasing new games for, like Zelda, like Mario. I was very happy to finally see it publicly confirmed. But I think it's really interesting, and I think it's something that people should keep in mind when thinking about Nintendo, which is this famously secretive company that, you know, there were so many rumors this week, and maybe we can go on to talk about these in a sec, but it has all this stuff going on, and like, it will just put stuff on a shelf for ages, for years, or it's not quite up to the task, so it gets scrapped. And you need stuff like Miyamoto just deciding to talk about it on the record in front of a journalist almost by accident, or like that Giga Leak of stuff where we found out so much about things that Nintendo had been working on that just never saw the public eye. That, you know, there's just this treasure trove of stuff in there, and Nintendo will tell you about it when it's ready. Mm-hmm. Anyway, maybe let's talk about expectations, because, you know, I mentioned leaks and things, and there were some very strong reports from reputable games journalists coming into the Direct that we would see things that actually we didn't see there. Liv, what was this stuff at the Direct that you were expecting based on these reports?
I think the big one that we have to talk about is the Twilight Princess Wind Waker HD ports. They've been sort of rumoured for a very long time, and people were sort of expecting it to come before Breath of the Wild 2, Tears of the Kingdom, because once that comes out, you know, that's what's going to be the big Zelda. Like, no one's really going to be, well, everyone's going to be focusing on that rather than Twilight Princess Wind Waker. So unless they announce it between now and like May, it sort of feels like they'll have missed the window.
The Wind Waker window. Yeah.
Oh,
it made sense. It makes sense to me that they would release them before. But they haven't announced them yet. You're right. They could still announce them and have them out in time for Christmas. But there were strong reports this week that they were going to be specifically announced during the Direct, and that didn't happen. People were also expecting Metroid as well. The Metro Prime remake, which has been heavily rumoured for a very long time, and I think personally it is one of those projects that Nintendo has sat on a shelf, and it's got it ready to bring out when it feels necessary, but maybe wants to leave it until a little bit closer, until Metroid Prime 4 is ready, as a sort of a run up to that. It's interesting, isn't it? I really enjoyed the Direct, but I was very aware that there were a lot of conversations afterwards of it being a letdown, because people were expecting things that weren't there, Nintendo never promised, but that others had.
I think that's a shame.
Victoria, you go.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that's a shame, though, because it's the Direct was a good Direct. You know, if you, you know, look at it and standing on its own merits, it was a good Direct. We got loads in there. And I just think it's a shame that people are now being like, well, that was rubbish, because it wasn't. It's just you're looking at it for what you wanted it to be, not for what it was.
I think expectations aside, from what I gathered from impressions from the internet, aside from maybe the sort of remasters that we expect in like the Zelda stuff, it felt like there was a lot of fluff in the beginning, at least, which people were like, what are you doing, Nintendo? I'm talking specifically about the farming games and Rune Factory. I'm sure there is an audience for that, but it does feel like when expectations were this high, you drop Rune Factory 3 or whatever it was, it does feel like a letdown.
But I think that's also the timing, because this was, you know, a preempt of TGS this week. And that is more the environment for that kind of game.
Yeah, I think it was RPG heavy for the same reason, and there were announcements in that needed to come out, because those games are now going to be at Tokyo Game Show. So, yeah, but I thought it was a good Direct. We had, you know, a brand new Fire Emblem announced, Pikmin and Zelda obviously there. We had a round of updates on all of the live service games, Splatoon and Mario Kart and Wii Sports and Mario Football. Mario Football. I knew there was another one.
Strikers.
Yes.
Strikers.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically all of the stuff that should have been in that game when I reviewed it a few months ago but didn't make launch, they're now adding in. It's Nintendo at the moment. So,
is that enough to make you want to go back to it?
No, I don't think so. No. But it means that people who are buying it for Christmas will get a much better version of the game than they will if they bought it earlier, or even if they read our review at launch.
We haven't mentioned GoldenEye, which I think is interesting, because it's getting that. I think it's a simultaneous or around the same time as getting the same release on Game Pass, which is interesting.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm sure you are, Victoria.
That's thrown such down a the gauntlet weird situation. And now you, Ishraq, I challenge you.
But yeah, it is weird, isn't it? Because I think someone else also mentioned that you can't buy these remasters or ports standalone, either on Xbox or Switch. It's just on the subscription services, which is also interesting.
Really? Is that been confirmed?
I don't think it's been gathered, but that's what people have gathered. I'm not sure it's confirmed yet.
On Switch, obviously, you can only access N64 games via the Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack subscription. But I would be surprised if you could only get it via Game Pass.
I think people made that assumption based on the fact that there isn't a store page for it yet, but that might simply be because it's just not there yet.
Yeah. I mean, the really weird situation is the online multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, yeah. That is unusual. And I'm really disappointed to hear that there's no plans to bring it to Xbox. Because, you know, not that people don't have friends, but how often do people sit down with four-player friends on their sofa these days? Like, it's just not something you really do anymore.
So it's clear there's some weird licensing wrangling going wrong between Microsoft and Nintendo, and Nintendo got the rights to online multiplayer. Or something's going on there, which is odd. But that game has always had an odd, complex legal situation, because you have the James Bond IP to wrestle with. And Rare is a part of Microsoft now, who developed the original game, but then Nintendo and the rights to Golden, I think.
Nintendo has this, we know from previous N64 games that they've put on Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack, that they can pipe in online where there was not online, obviously, back in the N64 days. But otherwise, the version that is coming out on Switch seems to be the basic ROM of that N64 game that released all those years ago. And then you've got the other version, which is coming to Xbox, and that seems quite different. It has 4K support, achievements, and...
But no online, which is quite odd.
But no online. Yeah. It is an odd situation. We've asked Microsoft about it, and they've given us a comment just to say there are no plans to add it in the future, which is odd to me. But, yeah.
I might have to try and get my brothers hooked up with a Switch, because they don't have one at the moment, but I need to redeem myself from playing with them when I was younger. And my brothers were really mean. They used to always tell me to play as Baron Samedi, and I thought they were just like, oh, because he's a really cool character. It's because he's so tall, you can see him from miles away. And they always like always took advantage of that. So, yeah, I'm going to have to beat them and show them how much I've grown up.
Taking the direct as a whole, what would everyone give it on the Eurogamer rating scale?
I mean, if it's Zelda alone, essential.
That's strong.
But just for like the 2 minutes of Zelda.
I was going to say, if I was to take Zelda out of it, I would say recommend with Zelda in it, essential.
Hmm. I'd probably give it a recommended. Yeah.
I'd give it a recommended as well. Sorry, go on, Ashraq.
No, yeah, I was just saying, Zelda aside, even when we had Zelda, we had a title and a release date, which obviously is big, but I guess I did want to see more gameplay. Maybe that's what would have put it over the edge to an essential.
They're too busy working on Twilight Princess. it's an essential for me because of Pitfall.
Of course.
We should talk about Sony, which was the other big conference of this week. There was less there, obviously.
Yes.
This would be getting essential.
Victor.
Sorry.
Spoilers.
Sorry.
Maybe it's best that we don't rate this one. But I think it was I think there was not a lot there. But I think it was also a bit of a casualty of people having higher expectations than what actually transpired.
It had some good bits. Like I didn't mean to sound quite so down as I just did. You know, like that God of War Ragnarok trailer at the end was a really like heart pounding, epic trailer. Like,
that trailer was excellent, but I will say it was quite funny. They started off with the controller. And I was like, what are you?
I got when this. I was like, please tell me that's not it.
I was like, this better not be it, Sony.
Because I saw, you know, Santa Monica devs had been retweeting this like state of play, and I was like, something big is coming, and then it was a controller.
What did we learn about God of War in that trailer that we didn't know already?
Well, I love the fact that we saw more of Tyre, the God of War, and we also saw that, like, it wasn't really the battle with Thor, but we saw Thor in action with Mjolnir, whatever you say it, however you say it, and that ending was just so bloody cool.
It was epic.
Yeah.
It really was.
So, I mean...
So what did we learn about the game that we didn't know already?
I'm not saying that we got anything new, but it just looks so damn good.
I understand why
there's an eclipse.
I mean, it is Ragnarok. So.
I was expecting more from Ragnarok, well, and Sony first party generally. We got the PlayStation Stars thing.
Yeah, I don't know why they slipped that in the middle.
Well, because otherwise there would have been only one first party bit right at the end.
We got Tekken 8?
We did get Tekken 8.
Yeah, that was right at the beginning.
I mean, that literally kicked things off.
We got the VR thing, got the Star Wars game.
Yeah. Well,
it's interesting you mentioned VR, actually, because so there's some really good stuff on Eurogamer this week from Ian Higton from our video team, and he went and got hands-on with PlayStation VR, which is also out at Tokyo Game Show this week. But he got to try it here. He was really impressed, actually, and his coverage is well worth a read if you are at all interested in that, which is out next year. But it, I mean, maybe as a casualty of the fact that it's very difficult to show VR games on a flat screen, you know.
Yeah, there wasn't much there.
So that was a bit disappointing. There were a few other announcements. I think we have to bear in mind, kind of like Nintendo, that this was a showcase very much timed around the Tokyo Game Show, tailored, I think, more to a Japanese audience than a Western one. I'm trying to think of what else was there that was sort of remarkable from it.
I sort of think the bookends were the best bits. The opening with Tekken and the closing with God of War.
We got that Yakuza spin-off, which is big.
Is it my time?
We did.
Yakuza Ishin, finally. They're translating it, but not just translating it, actually remaking it. So it looks good.
It looks very good. Yeah, I will say that.
Liv, you've had a very good week.
Yes, I don't care about y'all. Rip to y'all, I'm different.
You got an entire showcase of Yakuza, which may not now be called Yakuza.
Yeah.
They've decided to ditch Yakuza and they're going for Like a Dragon, which is technically what the Japanese actually translates as.
It's weird to do it in the middle of the series, right? To do it now. After we have a bunch of Yakuza games with the Yakuza.
Yeah, well, I feel like the point of it was also like in Yakuza 7, they were like, oh, this is the end of Yakuza. There was like a literal title, a chapter title for that.
But then would you not prefer that they, rather than calling it Like a Dragon 8, they then just like call it something like a Dragon Begins or something? Like, I don't know.
Because 7 was Yakuza Like a Dragon.
So I now just feel...
It's confusing, but...
In my head, I'm still going to be calling it Yakuza 8.
Same.
So will I.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people will.
Yeah. It's been Yakuza for so long that...
Everyone is just synonymous.
Mm.
I don't know why they do that. It's always Japanese publishers that just change it for the Western audience. I think it's unnecessary.
Yeah, make Resident Evil Biohazard here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So which one are you most excited for, Liv? Of all the sort of various things we got.
Are we talking everything from like the whole week or just
I was thinking more like Yakuza because you seem to have a lot of stories coming out yesterday.
So three games.
There's three games that got announced. There's the Ishin remake. Then there's the Yakuza 8 actually got officially announced and wasn't just a screenshot from someone's computer at Sega. And then there was also the Gaiden, the man who erased his name, which is going to be following Kiryu's from the end of 6 up until like when 8 starts.
So is that like a spin-off?
I feel it's more like what Death of the Outsider was for Dishonored. It's not quite a spin-off because it's going to be like action, brawling, that sort of combat that's kind of from the like first games, but it's going to be a bit smaller in scale, they've said. So it's kind of like a little standalone.
Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, I think I'm most... Go on.
Sorry, no, you go on.
I was going to say I'm most excited, I think, for Ishin, simply because it's kind of what people have been wanting to see for a while.
Mm.
You wrote a great article this week, Liv, about why Ishin coming to the West now is a big deal. And you touched a bit on how Yakuza has grown as a franchise in the West. What was the tipping point? Because I still have yet to play a Yakuza game. I hold my hands up and I would love to give it a go at some point.
You're missing out, Tom.
Why?
Karaoke.
Apart from just, you know, it's awesome. Like, what was the sort of the tipping point where people in the West really started to notice? And like, clearly now there is this response from Sega, like, oh, you know, this brand is now big enough to have a showcase all of its own, where we announce like three games coming over the next 2 years because there is such demand for it. What was that? Where and why did it blow up?
I think it has to be Yakuza 0. That was the first Yakuza game that really kind of went mainstream over here. And I guess I would put it to just kind of a lot of dedicated fans sort of pushing it. But also, like, you know, it's a great game. It has a really good story. It gives a lot of depth to Kiryu and Majima. And, you know, it also has all the wacky stuff you normally expect from Yakuza with sub-stories and dancing and karaoke and pocket racing and telephone club and a Milo. Not a Milo.
Yeah, I think just to add to it, yeah, I think Yakuza 0 was a good entry point for a Western audience, I think, just to really get into it. Like, that's where I started off with Yakuza. Mm-hmm. It's just a fantastic game. Like, even if you're very hesitant, and I was quite skeptical at first, just getting into it, it's a fantastic series. And I think, yeah, after that, you also had the remasters slash remakes of the original games.
Yeah.
For the again, for the West, which, as soon as Yakuza 0 came out, it just meant that you could get into the other games.
Yeah, that's the good thing about Zero. You don't really need to know anything about the story.
It's a prequel,
some,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's a prequel. So there's some bits that kind of like will make reference to future parts of the series, but you don't actually really need to know them to get into it. And then you've got Kiwami 2 to back it up, and then all of a sudden you're a Yakuza fan.
And they're all on Game Pass.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And PlayStation Plus Extra. Like, there's so many ways to play right now.
Yeah.
So if I was looking to get into it, Zero is the way to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay. Well, I'll add that to my Game Pass list, which got even longer today. The final sort of thing of the week was Xbox having a Tokyo Game Show presentation. And these things are not normally that relevant to Western audiences. They're very much like release dates for the Japanese versions of games. I think I went to one once and I really did not know what to expect and came away with basically nothing that European Western players would actually sort of mark on their calendar. But this morning we got a flurry of Game Pass announcements. Ni no Kuni, a game I love, played on PS3 back in the day, is available on Switch, on Game Pass right now. The sequel is coming next year. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, my favorite AC game. I won't talk about AC anymore, don't worry. Game Pass now. Deathloop is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. It seems such a long time ago. We were talking about Deathloop coming to
PlayStation.
Coming to Xbox. So, well, yeah, coming to PlayStation, but also inevitably coming to Xbox.
To Xbox, yeah.
And I remember saying, oh, I'll wait, but it'll feel like a long time. It hasn't really felt like a long time.
Yeah, the year's gone very quickly.
Yeah, so I'm still to play it. Have any of you guys played it on PlayStation?
I played it
on PC.
So would you all recommend it?
Yeah, for sure.
I like the aesthetic of it, and I like the music in it.
I like the 70s, 80s vibe.
Yeah, like it's got a good energy to it, I suppose, yeah.
I enjoy the story. Some people find the ending mix, no spoilers.
I was going to say, it's the ending, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, but that's why I was like...
But in terms of the pure game mechanics, like, as you're seeing Eurogamer's excellent review, it's just perfected everything that was good about Dishonored into, like, a first-person shooter. And that's what makes it so good.
I think what disappointed me about it, though, was kind of how it sort of made itself out to be kind of a, you can do whatever you want in it, whatever way. But then there was, like, set paths to go down to get progression of the story.
Yeah, that was one of the big drawbacks. It was a bit more hand-holdy than I expected.
Yeah.
There was also one element to the storyline that, again, I won't spoil, that made me, it sat quite uncomfortably with me.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I think we all know, yeah.
Yeah. I think you probably all know what I was talking about. Yeah, and I was a bit like, oh... Okay.
Still, for a game on Game Pass, I'd still recommend you give it a try, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those games, yeah, I feel like, yeah, you should experience it. Like, it was a big game that has come out in this kind of, I don't know, this decade or whatever. It is up there.
It's also just interesting as an industry thing, just seeing what was previously a PlayStation exclusive coming to Game Pass, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a novelty in that sense.
I'm keen to play. Sure. All right.
It's very well acted. I should say the actors are good. Yeah.
Yeah, the quality of it seems seems like really, really strong. And that studio never really seems to disappoint. So I'm looking forward to it. Well, it has been an extremely busy week with Nintendo, Sony, Yakuza, not that it's called Yakuza anymore, Microsoft. If we had to pick our favorite announcement of the week from all of those things, Liv, I think I can guess.
Look at that smile.
Pikmin 4.
Very good. I like that. Israel, what would be your big favourite announcement?
It's so hard. There were good ones. Despite my mixed response, there were some really good ones. I'll go with Yakuza.
Mm. Two votes for Yakuza, or one and a half. I'll go with Pikmin.
Of course.
Victoria, you have the deciding vote. What was your favourite of the week? Pikmin, Yakuza, or actually something else?
Okay, so I love Zelda, so that is definitely a big highlight.
Don't say the God of War controller.
But that's just what sealed the deal. I saw that and I thought, yes, you are talking my language, industry. No, I actually really like the Tekken trailer. Zelda, for the fact that it's Zelda, has it for me. But yeah, I think from Sony, Tekken. From Nintendo, Zelda.
I think if none of us said Zelda, Ed would be very upset with us.
I'm sure Ed would say Zelda. Again, like I said, I told Ed I'd only give the thing a 7 out of 10, and he was like, what? Like, I'm pretty sure our friendship was like, sort of, like, if it was on a Sim-style barometer, it would have been sort of like...
like, minus 100 approval.
Yeah, with a little, like, red picture of a person with a little minus next to it.
Don't worry, you've I can see that level's just risen a bit more now. Yeah. Thank you all for joining us. It's been a lot of fun recapping all of that. Who knows what next week will bring? We'll see you there. Before then, Victoria, where can people find you on Twitter?
I am Lil Chop Shop Gal.
And Ishrek.
You can find me at ISHRXQ _.
And Liv.
You can find me at JustCastHoly.
And I'm at Tom Phillips EG. Thanks for watching, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.